This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and we actually have a call, so I'm going to get right into that. But first, the number for anyone else to call to get in on the conversation with us is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And I'm going to go right to your phone calls and thoughts. John in Nebraska, what's on your mind, John?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Y'all were talking about the afterlife and electricity, and I kind of want to agree with that. I don't necessarily believe that there is an afterlife, but if there was, I would think that our consciousness is maybe built up of some sort of energy, and our body has there's electricity there. So I don't know what happens to energy. I don't know. I kind of wonder if electricity just goes to the ground. I just kind of don't know. If like our consciousness could somehow survive, but I suppose there's plenty of theories on that. But as far as surveillance goes, I've been thinking a lot about this. There's been no better time. Like I got rid of my phone for like 2 years, and I felt so good. Like there's people, I didn't have to call anybody, and nobody was really calling me, and my job pretty much stayed the same. It was pretty easy. I didn't have to use an email or a phone or nothing for my job. But I really enjoyed that, and I feel like the government just wants everybody to have a phone, wants everybody to be on a social media site, wants to be able to monitor everybody in every way, shape, or form. But I kind of also feel like private corporations are doing the jobs for the government. I think that they're collecting all this information, like when you go to the doctor or, you get some health care or wherever it is, even you go get a haircut. Like a lot of people have to schedule an appointment online. I kind of like the place where you just walk in and you just go get a haircut. But
dang, that's what I hadn't really thought about.
It's a bunch of little stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really can't do anything without an email and a phone number, and you need to provide all of this personal information almost for anything you do. Like I feel like everybody's asking for your address, and it's like, why do you even need to know my address? You know what I mean? Or my phone number? It's like for everything. It feels like,
yeah. That's the thing that kind of bugs me. Yeah, you go say to like a bookstore. They want your email address and your phone number. Well, somebody who works there might have a problem with you, but you may have never met them. But all of a sudden, they type your name into the system, and they find out everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where you work, not just a bookstore, anywhere. But I was just kind of wondering. I know a little bit of the stories with the FBI and the harassment and stuff, and the court case and all that stuff. Probably can't talk too much about that. But I was just wondering if y'all ever thought that maybe, you were being surveilled.
We know we were. they admitted to that. That was part of the discovery, I think it's called.
Yeah, they were
surveilling our house. Yeah.
24-hour a day for multiple months camera outside of our house. They had, stuff written in discovery that was, red Subaru, this license plate. Yeah. When I first met Ian and visited.
Yep. Yeah, and even during the case, the trial was going on, we were obviously still here doing the show 7 days a week at that point. And we would say stuff on the show, and they were using recorded snippets from things that Ian or Aria was saying on the show, and they would use it in court the next day.
Yep.
So they we knew they were listening to the show, and then in the discovery they were saying that they were surveilling the house.
Did you ever feel like maybe somehow they got inside the house and maybe put a recording device? Or
no.
I know that Samsung puts, like, microphones inside their TVs and stuff. Like, you know, there's appliances that have that. You think that they were ever...
I don't think any of us use those types of appliances. I mean, okay, we have iPhones, but they have not done anything like try to get iPhone to give my text. They just took my phone.
I'm going to be honest with you. I am like a really paranoid person, and I know my phone's listening to me right now. I always assume I'm being surveilled. So, right. and I try, you know, I don't let it like disrupt my life or anything, but you know, I'm kind of careful what I say, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of just, like, always assume that somebody is listening, so I'm careful with what I, like, text people and what I say and stuff like that, but I've never really, like, in this house specifically, I've never really felt like there was a bug or anything yeah. like that, or, because I thought that, like, right after the raid,
right.
Obviously they tore through the whole house. They unplugged a bunch of equipment in here, and I thought about that. I was like, I'm sure they put some recording device in here or something like that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't really think so either, because, I mean, they would have to get a whole other kind of warrant to be
yeah,
able
but
to
they
do that.
Do, but they do stuff illegally. They
but
can
then
do
to be able
want.
To use it, that's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
to be able to use it, yeah, so then what's
illegally,
the point? Yeah.
So why would they do that if they...
Who knows, yeah. yeah.
So they
okay,
listen.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and have a good night.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Thank so
thanks for calling.
I'm glad there are people out there who, you know, care that much about privacy, because it's just a normal human being thing to care about privacy, and the government actually wants to criminalize it. In Ian's trial, they mm-hmm. were using it as what they're basically using it as evidence. They're saying, why would he advertise that he respects your privacy unless he was a criminal?
And that's the thing, right? So if you're not willing to forego all of your personal information all the time, then it's like, okay, well, what do you have to hide?
Yeah, you hear
nothing.
People say that all the time. Oh, well, if you have nothing to hide.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, well, also, like, you know, I'm not, like, ashamed of my naked body, but I'm not yeah. going to change in front of an open window because I like my privacy.
Right.
You like, know, is that hard for people to understand? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
Ian told yeah. me a really cool story that I had never heard before. He's been reading just, like, this, like, not an encyclopedia, but this book that's called, like, the Book of Knowledge or something that someone sent him. Like, you could get lost reading it for a long time, so it's nice to have in jail. And it tells you all these, like, facts about different things. And this one section is all about the invention of the telegraph. And they were talking about how the people knew that their messages were going to get read by just, like, the workers at the telegraph company. So they started creating codes, and basically people would put out books, like, all the time with new codes as they were getting discovered. And people were, like, the telegraph company was getting annoyed because they were also, the telegraph companies were getting annoyed because they were also basically putting in things that were like LOL, meaning laugh out loud, you know, things like that, so that way they didn't have to pay for longer characters. Mm. And it just made me think, wow, like, humans for a really long time have cared about privacy. It's not like just some kind of newfangled thing while there are terrorists about and they want to make sure that the government doesn't know what they're doing. Like, people have always cared about privacy.
Only their own.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah,
care
right?
about other people's
yes.
privacy. And
right.
you see it in parents that are reading their kids every text message, putting these watchdog device or apps on their kids' phones so they can see everything they're doing, taking
right.
their doors off their bedrooms and stuff like that. Like,
that's terrible.
It's awful. And so, you know, they don't care because their kids aren't people.
Right.
They're the only real person.
Right. I hate that. We yeah. talk about that a lot on the show. Like, Nikki has a lot of stories about people who spank their kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have a story about surveillance, which is probably why he brought it in, because I titled the show tonight something like, the surveillance state gets bigger. But I want to go to this call. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, it's Ridley.
Oh, I wondered if it was you. Could have been you, could have been Tom. I just saw it was from New Hampshire. What's on your mind, Ridley of RidleyReport.com?
Ridley in New Hampshire. Okay, so the in-depth NH is a media outlet that has focused some attention on a cover-up lately that I wanted to talk about. And if something's covered up in the government, that's a good indication we should be talking about it, right? So I guess it's State Rep. John Stone, a Republican of Claremont, is trying to keep his police discipline record secret. And a reporter from In-Depth NH filed a right-to-know request 3 years ago. And I guess the union leader and the New Hampshire Civil Liberties Union have now joined in to try and find out why this is supposed to be so secret. And the Supreme Court of New Hampshire is about to hear the case.
Is there any guess on what's in his record?
They do seem to do a little bit of vague speculation. It's not speculating on the In-Depth NH article. It's They do go into it a little bit, but I do not want to libel the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I were to try and paraphrase what they're saying, I don't understand what they're saying well enough to be able to properly paraphrase it for you. I've got the article in front of me, and I remember the part that you're looking for. The article says, quote, according to records obtained through the 5th District Court, District Division in Claremont, Stone was subject to a domestic violence protection order filed by a Claremont woman in September of 2006. The order was withdrawn 2 weeks later.
So he got the protection against her, not the other way around?
Stone was subject to a domestic violence protection order. Quote, what that means is somebody was trying to keep him away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's the part that's even being covered up, though. So,
it's definitely, just someone in the government.
Why do we even have to, isn't that just supposed to be, like, shouldn't that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I agree that somebody in the government should have to disclose things like that. I don't believe it about everyone. It's like we were saying, I believe in privacy. But if you want to rule over me, then you should be able to be open and transparent, which is what the New Hampshire Constitution says all government workers should be.
Well, I mean, the guy's police record should look like the Shire forums, right? It should look like forum.shiresociety.com, where everybody on the internet can see every word, basically. And that's how a police report or a police record should look for a police officer, because they work for, they're forcing you to pay their salary.
He's a police officer?
You're supposed to be able to, he was a police officer, but he was dismissed from a police department in. This is a quote, Stone was fired from the Claremont Department in 2006 under circumstances that were never made public, unquote.
Wow. In that case, then I definitely want to know, because most likely if you're getting actually fired from a place, you're probably like beating your wife, beating your girlfriend or something like that. I'm not saying this guy was, and I'm not saying I know that, but it's probably something that bad.
I mean, though, yeah, those things are usually allowed, so it might be worse.
Yeah.
Well, actually, my theory is they only fire you for doing the right thing in the police department.
That actually, that you might be onto something with that.
But there are plenty of stories about people who get, it's not like that big of a deal. They get fired from being a police officer from one spot because they were a sexual assaulter.
Yeah, and then and they go somewhere else.
They get another job somewhere else as a police officer, like in the next county. So, I don't know. Is that all you had about that In-Depth NH article, Ridley?
That is all. It's in-depthnh.org.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Yeah, if somebody, is listening and they think that I'm being a hypocrite by saying, oh, I believe in privacy, you shouldn't know everything about me, but I want to know what this thing is, this ex-cop is hiding, it's not a hypocrisy at all. You should be able to tell the public everything about yourself if you want to rule over them. And like that's just the very least. Like, I would rather you not have the ability to rule over me and have people voting and believing that you should be allowed to rule over me and everything. But if we're going to do that, you should follow the New Hampshire Constitution that says that all government employees must be open and transparent and not be hiding some kind of, probably a sexual assault record or whatever it is. But, yep, that's all I had to say about that. And that's definitely a Ridley topic. But we did have a story about the UN surveillance state that Lori brought in. And that's why I titled tonight's show, Surveillance State Getting Stronger, or something like that. And I think that's why the other guy called in about it. So what do you have about that, Lori?
This article is from sociable.co. It says, UN Gates Foundation 50 in 5 campaign aims to roll out digital public infrastructure in 50 countries by 2028. The 50 in 5 campaign is an agenda concocted by a coalition of unelected globalists to accelerate technocratic control through digital ID, CBDC, and massive data sharing. The United Nations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and partners of the Rockefeller Foundation are launching their 50 in 5 campaign to accelerate digital ID, digital payments, and data sharing rollouts in 50 countries under the umbrella of digital public infrastructure by 2028. It already said that.
And I think that that's a silly word that we need to talk about. Digital public infrastructure. It's like, oh, we need roads. We need bridges to go over water bodies and stuff like that. We need this infrastructure for people's digital identities.
It's they can't even get physical infrastructure, right?
Right.
So. With a virtual launch event to take place on November 8th, the 50 in 5 agenda bills itself as a country-led advocacy campaign. By 2028, 50 in 5 campaign will have helped 50 countries design, launch, and scale components of their digital public infrastructure, according to the official announcement. Sold as a mechanism for financial inclusion, convenience, improved healthcare, and green progress, DPI is an inclusive phrase applied to a looming technocratic governance system powered by three foundational components: digital ID, digital payments like central bank digital currencies, and massive data sharing. Advocates are adamant that DPI is essential for participation in markets and society, just like we saw with the vaccine passports, only on a much broader scope. If successful, DPI will give governments and corporations the power to implement social credit that can determine where and how you can travel, what you're allowed to consume, and how you'll be able to transact with your programmable money. Think individual carbon footprint trackers, ultra-low emission zones, and CBDC programmed to restrict less desirable purchases, all of which are being pushed by proponents of the Great Reset. The stated goal of the 50 in 5 campaign is that in 5 years, 50 countries will have designed, launched, and scaled at least one component of their digital public infrastructure stack in a safe, inclusive, and interoperable manner.
Oh my God, what does that even mean? It's inclusive.
Inclusive.
We're watching everyone.
That's right.
They just want to make sure that we know they're not racist or whatever.
Yeah. It just sounds like it's something good.
It's just like some woke speak. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Achieving this goal involves demonstrating the potential and momentum for DPI through showing various approaches to DPI, their progress and outcomes in countries across different income levels and digital maturity statuses, shortening the DPI learning and adoption journey for countries through facilitating learnings and best practice exchanges, use of open standards and specifications adoption, and sharing of technologies as digital public goods and evolution of local engineering capacity and vendor ecosystems. While the 50 in 5 campaign has not yet disclosed which countries will be participating, the website reveals that they will be both advanced and emerging digital leaders.
Well, I don't know. I just think all the stuff that they're saying so far, covered a lot so far, is all really bad, and it's all stuff that is basically fascism. Corporations working together with the government to share information about you, control your life, and they'll try to say, oh, it's not like total government control, so what's the problem? But the problem is that corporations, they basically need government permission to exist, and they're basically just unofficial little branches of the government at this point. And when you're giving them a bunch of your information and you need their permission to do certain things, it's no different to me than the government controlling your life. And we already learned that that's been happening in smaller ways during COVID, thanks to the guy, I don't remember his name, Matt Taibbi, who came out with the information that the White House was controlling Twitter and Facebook, controlling what they were allowed to, letting people post and stuff like that, because there was, well, misinformation.
Yeah, right.
About
COVID. That's where that all stemmed from.
Facebook still does that. Mm-hmm. I went in to look at the settings on my Facebook account because I wanted to change the feed so that I actually saw the new things instead of the things from a day or two ago that they show. And in there, you can change what's suppressed for you. It's all set to be suppressing anything negative, in their opinion.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, sensitive pictures, sensitive topics, misinformation.
So how do we change it? I only want to see sensitive things and, like, misinformation.
So I tried to change it because I'm part of a bunch of farming groups.
Yeah.
And I tried to change it so that the sensitive pictures wouldn't be pushed to the bottom of my feed.
Right, yeah, yeah. You want to see it. You're like, yeah, I'm not disgusted by this. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
I need to know these things. I need to see these things. And you can't change that one.
Wow, that's weird.
It's automatically suppressed and you can't unsuppress it.
Instagram is also part of Meta. And on my, like, birth business page, every single, like, the whole thing is, like, blurred out. Like, my whole entire feed, because it's all, like, videos of women giving birth.
Right.
But that's the only things I'm, like, following, so they have to show it to me. Like, that's all there is.
Yeah, I'm in a group called Necropsies for All. It's, farm animal necropsies, if something went wrong with somebody's animal. And that's the same thing. You go to the feed, and it's just blacked out pictures with the little eyeball.
Just because there was, like, a sick animal, and they showed people making the better...
No, it's like an autopsy for an animal.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so, like, somebody wants to see it.
Open them up and see what went wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't be following the group if I didn't want to see that.
Right,
Like, I would unfollow
them.
It's in
the name of the group.
Yeah, and I think this is another thing, too, like, especially, like, in the age of social media, I'm always seeing comments on different posts, like, you should have put a trigger warning, like, TW, like, this is triggering for me. And it's like, listen... Your triggers are not the world's responsibility.
Right.
And there was, I think it was in one of the birth groups I follow on Instagram, she posted about a miscarriage, and someone messaged her and was like, I'm pregnant, and this is really triggering to me. Like, I do not want to see this.
And she's talking about her own miscarriage?
No, she was sharing a post from another woman, but she was trying to, like, she had permission, but she was trying to spread awareness, essentially, and make other women who have experienced miscarriage, like, feel seen and be like, I'm not alone, because it's such a taboo topic that no one talks about.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, actually, this is, like, super, super common. Like, I felt like when I was going through that, I was completely alone. A lot of women feel that way. So she responded to the woman that was like, this needs a trigger warning. Like, I'm pregnant and now, like, I'm triggered. And she was like, well, you know what? You posting your maternity photo shoot is really triggering for women who just had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not just
either side should be able to get
exactly
what anyone posts.
And I think that's why, like, that was her point, was like, are you going to put a trigger warning on, like, pictures of your baby and, like, pictures of you being pregnant? Like, no, but people don't think about that stuff because those are supposed to be happy things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? For someone who maybe had just lost a child or, like, experienced some sort of loss or maybe they're infertile, whatever, that isn't, you know, that could be triggering for them. So it's like...
Right. And it's just like...
It's your responsibility,
yeah. Going online is the same thing as going in public. Like, you should expect to see other people talking and things you might not want to see. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The conflict between Israel and Hamas has entered its 26th day. Evacuations from the Gaza Strip into Egypt are underway, with injured civilians and hundreds of foreign passport holders, including Americans, among those leaving. Since the war's onset of October 7th, the total death toll has exceeded 10,000 people. President Biden is in Minnesota emphasizing his administration's commitment to investing in rural areas.
About making things in rural America again. And that's exactly what the historic legislation we passed has done, creating new and better markets and new income streams so that generations of rural Americans can begin to thrive again.
Speaking from Dutch Creek Farms in Northfield, Biden unveiled over $5 billion in fresh funding for agriculture, broadband, clean energy, and infrastructure in rural areas across the nation. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the number to get in on the conversation with us. 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And we've been talking about the surveillance state tonight, just growing larger and larger and more intrusive into your lives. But I wanted to go straight to the phones. We have David Hathaway in Arizona. David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good evening, Bonnie, Lori, and Nikki. Yeah, you a few days ago, Bonnie, had mentioned you were interested in paranormal things, and
yes.
I was going to talk about a couple of those. But first, I wanted to mention out here where I live, Tucson is just an hour away, and they're now training Ukrainian pilots to fly American F-16s at the Air Force base in Tucson. So this is obviously a prelude to, for U.S. fighter planes being piloted by Ukrainian pilots to go fight Russians. So I don't know. I hear that and I just think how crazy it is that, we're now training foreign pilots to fight Russians in U.S. fighter planes.
That's terrible.
But anyway, that was the first thing I was going to say.
Yeah. Can I ask, sorry, is this really the first time that this would happen? Because I thought that the United States was already giving Ukraine planes, or is this just new because this is the first time that the U.S. would be training them specifically to use them? Or is this plane a bigger and badder plane that we haven't given to Ukraine yet?
Well, you know, from my understanding, they've beefed up the other NATO nations around Ukraine, provided more aviation support. But this is it's a single seat fighter plane, the F-16. It can, you know, can either drop bombs or, you know, it has machine guns on it. It is a fighter plane, but it can also be outfitted as a bomber. But it is a single seat, not like an F-14 or F-15 that are actually, you know, like a front and a back seat. But from my understanding, this will be the first time that the U.S. is directly providing fighter planes to Ukraine. But I could be wrong about that.
I could be wrong, too. I just knew that we'd given them some kind of... Well, definitely money, and I thought that we gave them, or not we, but the United States gave them planes, but I could be wrong about that, so I don't know, I just wanted to know.
And at that Air Force base in Tucson, they also trained Afghani fighter pilots and to fly American F-16 fighter planes, too. It's just kind of that particular base specializes on F-16s through the Arizona Air National Guard, so it's kind of become a training site for foreign pilots on wars that the U.S. is supporting. So it's a big deal in the news out here, but it's probably not at the national level.
Well, that's pretty creepy. I mean, I wish that they would just let the conflict, like, die, go away. But they're helping it continue.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to talk about, you mentioned an interest in the paranormal. And, of course, I'm an elected sheriff out here, and there is a jail that's part of the sheriff's office. And I've heard this from numerous officers in the sheriff's office that we have what's called a rubber room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cell that has a rubber floor, rubber ceiling, rubber walls, and there's nothing else in there except a drain in the middle of the floor. And I've heard officers say that on the graveyard shift, they hear screaming from that cell and banging on the walls, and they'll go check, and there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
So I've heard that from multiple officers, and they swear that it's true, you know, that they'll think, wow, I didn't know somebody was in there, and they'll go, there's a flap that you open to see who's in the room to check on them. It's like, say that there's an inmate that's banging their head against the wall and trying to harm themselves. They'll put them in that rubber room. But anyway, I've heard that from numerous people, and they're not joking. They say, especially like on the midnight, the graveyard shift, they'll hear the screaming and weird sounds and banging on the walls, and they go check, not thinking that anybody was in there, and then there is nobody in there, but they still hear the sound.
Yeah, I've worked a graveyard shift at, like, different hospitals, nursing homes, and different, like, healthcare facilities, and a lot of, like, other nurses and, like, other staff will have some, like, really creepy stories.
In hotels, too. I'm sure. I haven't had anything that was really unexplainable, just, like, terrible feelings, like... I gotta get out.
Like a feeling of dread, or like, oh, somebody's watching me, something like that.
But so many housekeepers that they wouldn't be there at night, but they would be in rooms alone, have had weird things like, you know, things shut, doors shut, and stuff like that shouldn't have shut, you know, little things like that. Nothing crazy, but I feel like there's a lot of residual energy in places like that. Like, think about the terrible state of mind people have been in this rubber room he is talking about.
Yeah. Oh, and same with nursing homes.
Yep.
I mean, like, I've had some really creepy experiences in nursing homes where I'm like, and you can just feel, like, if you're, like, kind of sensitive to, like, energy, like we were talking about earlier, you can feel when something's like, oh, you're like a good, you have a good feeling, right? And then you have bad feelings, and it's like, yeah, that's intuition or whatever. But you can tell, like, if you're having an experience that's out of the ordinary, you can kind of tell if it's, like, malicious or not, you know what I mean? Like, if you get this feeling of dread and some weird stuff is happening, you know, that's...
And then, you know, like, in that rubber room, you know that there has been people with very intense feelings in there before that were suicidal, and it was probably the most traumatic moment in their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's any truth to, you know, negative energy getting concentrated in a certain place, it would certainly be at a place like that where the person is just, it's the worst moment of their life. And then I don't know if the people are really hearing things or if there's just that kind of negative vibe in the area where, It brings to people's imagination, you know, some like that feeling of dread or whatnot. Now, one of the other ones, there's like two more I want to tell you about. I live right next to a river that starts in Mexico and it comes into the U.S. So this is another paranormal thing I've heard my whole life, that people say that there was a woman that they call La Llorona. That
yep. means oh, yeah.
The crying woman.
They made a movie about it.
Yeah, there's a version of that kind of that story in different parts of the country. But down here they say her children were swept away when the river was flooding and that she goes down the river. They'll see her at night, a figure in white, looking and crying and calling for her children. And people around here, my whole life, I was born here and grew up here, they say they have seen her out there crying and looking for her children. So that's, I think that's kind of maybe sort of universal in a lot of Hispanic communities, that mm-hmm. that fable. But right here, they say that that's the river that I live next to and that she goes along here. And the last one I have is this is something in my family. I had a great uncle who, when he was a boy, he wrote a date on the wall of the barn in chalk. Mm-hmm. And then when that date came, many years in the future, his mom died on that date. So just
wow.
little things like that, you know, you just think, is there truth to any of this stuff? And then you see little things, maybe massive coincidences. People remember them, and they don't remember all the other things that don't ever come to pass. But anyway, those are a few of the ones that I've heard about.
That is really cool. Thank you so much for that call, David. I really have wanted people to call in about that all of October because
yeah.
I get in that mood where I want to hear about stuff like
Somebody
that.
Somebody called in on Sunday telling a story like that, and I was like, oh yeah, Bonnie was asking people to call in. You should call in on Wednesday.
I only asked like one day because I kept forgetting that I wanted to ask the callers too.
Yeah, and I forget what they were even talking about, but yeah, some of that stuff, like what he was talking about in the rubber room, like you wonder, like, if it's maybe like a poltergeist type entity rather than like
hitting
a
the
ghost.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with like the poltergeist, right? It's like a piece of like really strong, intense energy that breaks off of a person. Like, this is a theory, right? You know, whether you believe it or not is another story. But that's the theory of a poltergeist, right? Like, it is a piece of a living human being that breaks off of them and then kind of creates its own entity, right? And that's when it kind of gets destructive. And, you know, according to whatever people, certain theories, they, since they are a piece of a living human being, you know, they have free will, so to speak, where like other entities might not. So that's why they can kind of like knock things over. Like when you think of poltergeist, typically you're thinking of like, you know, a cup knocking over or like things moving. Because they can interact with their surroundings. So I wonder if it's something like that making those noises, like just really like pent up
hate
in all this like energy and all this intensity rather than like someone, because I'm like, well, maybe like somebody died in there and it could be a ghost, but I feel like a lot of the experiences that people have, like they're more likely not like an actual ghost, but maybe some other sort of entity. I don't know.
Right. I totally
think it would be like
that.
A feedback loop.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, you hear about that too, where someone
like an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like somebody. Like certain like mediums or people that have experiences, right? Like, or in certain areas, right? You'll have like this reoccurring experience where it's kind of just a ghost, like, or whatever, an entity.
It's replaying.
It's constantly replaying. It's just like on a loop.
Yep. It could be all of those things at once. And I totally believe that a place like where he's describing would be the place that something like that would happen. I don't know like the history of. I'm just going to say La Llorona because I don't exactly
know
it. Yes.
Right.
So I don't know exactly the history, like what places have what mystery or myth about her. But my ex, who is from southern Mexico, so pretty far away from where David lives in Arizona, I'm not going to tell his whole story because it's not really my story to tell. And it's really scary. Probably the scariest ghost story of any that I've ever been told by a person that I know. But when he was a kid, he had this really scary ghost thing happen to him and his brother at the same time. And while it was happening, he heard this loud scream in his ear, but it wasn't like in the room. And his brother right next to him in bed wasn't hearing it. And later when he was telling his grandma about it, she was like, oh, that's La Llorona.
That's, oh my gosh.
Like, it's good if it's loud because that means she's far away. If it's quiet, it actually means she's close.
Ah!
Yeah, so his
no!
was really loud. But she also used that same word. That's what he called it when he told me that story, so... That's just kind of interesting that a whole bunch of...
Oh, I don't like that. Oh, that I don't know why that freaked me out so much.
I can tell you the whole thing.
I think whispering is scary. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're, like, already freaked out and then, like, something... If you hear a loud noise, that can be scary. But if something's, like, creepily whispering, like, where are my children? Or something like it's
whispering
like, oh
and whistling.
God.
Those are the two off limits. Don't do it. If it's dark and you do either of those, we can never talk again.
You guys really watch Sam and Colby. They have captured so many creepy things like that, like whispers and whistles. And that is one of the creepier ones when you hear that on the camera and everybody in the frame is like, what was that? And it's a whistle. Like, that's so creepy. Why would a ghost even think to do that?
Or, like, children, like, dead children are always, like, really creepy, too. I don't know. It's just... it's like the innocence. Yeah. It's like, I know, I feel like you're a demon, like, hiding in something innocent.
Pretending.
Yes, pretending.
I don't like that at all. And my sister also had a thing happen. And again, it's like not my story, but I don't think she'd be mad that I was telling it. Where something was like running around her bed and she woke up because she was like half asleep when that happened. And she's like, okay, that was creepy. I'm going to go back to sleep. And when she got in that in-between awake and asleep state again, she had it scream in her ear.
No.
Just, like, scream right in her face and it woke her up and she didn't sleep the rest of the night.
See, I've never really had, like, experiences like that in my home. It's only ever been, like, I had weird experiences in that nursing home and then in the hospitals. Like, it's always, like, places where it's, like, well, yeah, I mean, like, people are dying here and it's, like, yeah, the worst moments of your entire life are happening here.
There's actually a phenomenon where you hear a noise like that while you're falling asleep. It's kind of like, you know, when you're falling asleep and you
have
that, like, falling thing?
Yes,
that happens to me all the time.
It's like a misfire in your brain when it's between asleep and awake. So that might be what happened.
Hopefully.
It could be, but it could also be that you're in, like, a trance-type state where you're more sensitive to things.
Yeah, like closer to the veil or whatever.
I had something happen to me, but I was wide awake.
So you want to tell it?
Yeah, sure. Well, the town I grew up in... It's an old town in Massachusetts, and when I was little, I liked somebody to stay in my bed with me, so I was at my aunt's house, and she was in bed next to me, and my sister was across the room in her bed, and we were watching something on TV, it was late at night, and I heard a man from downstairs call my name,
My
aunt heard it too.
No.
My sister was asleep, so she didn't hear anything, but they said, Lori, and I was like, oh, Uncle Tom is home, because my uncle would go away like, all over the world for his work. And she's like, no, he's not. And I was like, Uncle Tom's home. And I got up and I ran downstairs.
And like,
there was
no, come
nobody
back.
There.
Oh,
there was
gosh.
Nothing in the house, nobody there. So that one.
Yeah. I actually lied. There was things that used to happen to me at my, like, childhood house. But it was weird. Like, it's the type of thing where it's like, is this really happening? Am I imagining it? But
and
I would
when you're
always.
A kid? Were you a kid?
Yes, weird things would happen to me. Like, I used to see fairies when I was falling asleep because I would sleep in my parents' bed a lot when I was like 5 years old or whatever. I'd always go in there and it'd be like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I would see like fairies floating around. And to me, I'm just like, oh, I'm a little kid. Like, it's my imagination.
Or you think it's normal because how are you supposed to know it's not normal? Like, when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
I would see Jules when I was falling asleep to the point where I'd be like, I'm bored falling asleep. Oh, I'm going to do that thing where I see Jules. And I could make it happen. And they would, like, move slowly and I could watch them.
Yeah, right. So it's like you're.
But I didn't think it was that weird because.
No, yeah, it's like.
It's
not your imagination, but, like, kind of, right? Like, your.
I just thought it was, like, an Easter egg fun thing you can do in this human.
It's like your power of visualization, right? And it's easier to do things like that when you're a kid.
That could totally be it.
But yeah, with that, like, when I would think about it when I was an adult or, like, older, like, after it was happening to me, I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, like, just because I had imaginary friends, too. But, like, my imaginary friends, I never saw them.
Right. Yeah.
So that, I'm like, I don't know, was there fairies? Who knows? Maybe I was sleepy. Maybe I was dreaming. And then the other thing, in that same room, like, in my parents' room a lot, which is weird because it was a new addition to the house. So nothing happened in that room, you know what I mean? And the whole house itself was built in the 90s, so it was a rather new house. But I would hear, like, my name being whispered. But again, that was the thing where you just kind of like, oh, whatever, I'm just, oh, I just imagined it or something. You know what I mean? Like, you write stuff like that off, but that was happening. Like, I would hear, you know, somebody calling my name or whispering my name.
That's
up until up until I was like a teenager living there, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like loud, like whispering, like it was kind of in my head almost. It's so weird to explain. So it was very easy for me, you know, like if you hear somebody say something, you're like, no, I know that was real, right? Mm-hmm. But this was kind of like, oh, maybe it was just my brain misfiring or something. Like, it was very easy for me to write it off. But again, who knows? Maybe someone was whispering my name. I don't know.
Right. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, it can't be that their brain was misfiring or whatever. But I also think that that could be, like, just your brain's in more of an ability to connect with things that we just don't use every single day anymore. Like, yeah. We have, you know, like, pineal gland in your brain that mm-hmm. we don't use anymore. Like, I think it used to be able to actually sense things that we can't sense anymore. And a lot of people have the same theory about the right temporal lobe. That it has, it's basically what is credited with, like, your ability to have memory is your right temporal yeah. lobe. And it also has all these things that it doesn't use anymore, I guess. Like, we just don't use that part of our brain anymore, or never did, quote-unquote. And I don't know if I believe that. I think it's probably senses that we just don't use anymore. Like, there are African people that have this theory that they're ancestors used to be able to see all kinds of things that they couldn't see anymore as time went by. And they even said, don't take the vaccines the Europeans are bringing to us because it makes you blind from the spirits. Like, you won't be able to see spirits and stuff.
So, oh, I'm sure.
I just think that, like, I don't know. It's possible that our brains used to be able to sense more things, like, in the spiritual realm than
that. Well, when you think about it, like, think about how it was, like, 500 or more years ago before we had all this technology and stuff like that, and before we were so focused on working and making money and, you know, all of these tasks and, are you bored? Go watch TV. Are you bored? Mm-hmm. Go read a book. Before all of that, what were people doing? I mean, like, yeah, like, it was making a meal and hunting and gardening. Like, all of those things took the majority of our time. But those people were so much more connected to nature, to their surroundings, and maybe to other things as well that we don't know about, to other entities, to spirits, to whatever you want to call it, because they weren't so distracted mm-hmm. by everything. Like, nowadays, like, you're bored, like, you literally go watch a
look
movie.
At your phone.
Or, yeah, like, you That's go, there's you. Always something to do. And people don't allow themselves to be bored anymore, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe being bored is a good thing, because if you have absolutely nothing to do, you can just sit there and you can connect to whatever is there to connect to. Or maybe, you know, like, you know how people talk about, like, downloads or your intuition or connecting to source, connecting to spirit, connecting to God. I think when you're in those places of stillness, nowadays we call it meditation, right? Hmm. But I'm sure people, you know, before, you know, like, thousands of years ago, this was their existence, right? Like, this was, you know, they did this quite a lot where you're just sitting there doing nothing.
Waiting for a deer to walk by.
Yeah, or just, like, looking off into the horizon, like, whatever you're doing, you didn't have anything to do, so you would just relax, rest. But now we have a name for it, right? Now we call it meditation, but that used to just be something that people did.
Or mindfulness.
Yeah,
don't
like
care.
That's, right, like that's when you would receive, like, ideas, right? Oh, right, I'm gonna do this. Like, that is when people received that sort of information. And we definitely, people don't even have time to do that nowadays.
So right. Your brain can only pay attention to so many things at once.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes you'll see something out of the corner of your eye, because your brain's filling in that information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about that too, we constantly have lights and mm-hmm. objects and TVs, monitors and sounds and just constant input. And so even if there was something subtle, maybe you just can't.
Yeah.
Pay attention to it anymore.
Right.
Because there's so much input that your brain's like, I can't with that.
Yeah. And that maybe that's another reason. Like, we always talk about babies and young children being closer to the veil. And that's why maybe, you know, young children have more paranormal experiences.
Hmm.
And same with animals, right? But maybe that's because they don't have as much input. So you just leave the baby, you know, in the crib or whatever, and they're just like staring, like looking around.
And they haven't been taught. They haven't learned.
Exactly. They don't know
true.
That it's not yeah. real yet, right?
Or normal.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, maybe that's another reason why young children have those experiences is because, you know, unless you have some people, like, I'm sure, have all the fancy baby toys and, oh, we're going to put the tablet on for the two-year-old to go to sleep, like things that are totally unnecessary. But for normal people who don't do that to their children and just have their children existing, looking around at things, I'm sure they are so much more open to receiving stuff like that because they don't have all of the constant input that adults do.
Yep, I definitely see that to be a possibility. I haven't had any of those where I just see something in the corner of my eye or even really any like ghost thing appearing in my house at all, but my mom and my grandma and my brother all have a lot, not just in the corner of their eyes, like that has definitely happened, but my mom has seen with her eyes open, wide awake, like really creepy things. Like I keep feeling bad, like it's, like I said, not my story to tell, but since she told me it, I'm just going to say, she said before, the one that scared me more than anything else, I don't know why she told me that she saw this as a kid, but I guess she just wanted to tell someone, but she saw this woman standing in her doorway that looked like she had been underwater for like a really long time and was dead and decaying, just staring at her. When my dad woke up to go take a shower to get ready for work, woke her up and she like felt like she's being watched and she looked out.
That's horrifying.
That's terrifying.
And that's the thing too, like, I don't want to see any of this stuff. Like,
exactly.
I don't want these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already kind of like, it's easy for me to get kind of spooked and scared. Like, if I'm watching something creepy on my phone, and especially if it's nighttime, I'll forget about it. Then I will be, like, creeped out. Somebody even told me a story at work about, like, oh, yeah, there's a ghost here. And at first I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm not really afraid of that, or and I believe you, whatever. But for, like, weeks after, I would, like, it did, like, have, like, a residual creepy effect for me where, like, I would, you know, see a reflection on a window or something and get scared or spooked or, you know. So I don't really want to wake up and see somebody in my doorway. Like, I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to see it.
And it's like, there are people that's just totally normal for them. They've been seeing things.
Like, how do you survive? Like,
how
do you move on? How do you see something? Like, even just the story you just said.
Right.
How do you see something like that and then, like,
move on,
how do you move on from that? Like,
seriously.
I don't know. Like, mediums who, like, experience this stuff all the time, or, like, how you're talking about Sam and Colby,
mm-hmm.
how they go out and they're, like, searching for these experiences and they're going to haunted houses. How do you... Like, literally, how do you move on after that? Like, I guess you have to, right? Because what else are you going to do? But, like, that is super creepy.
And I think part of not wanting it is one reason, a huge reason why, like, I personally don't see things like that. I just don't want to, but I would love to hear more paranormal experiences from callers. But whatever you want to talk about is fine. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9222. 833-VINYL90.